Montcalm. It is reported of General Wolfe that as he drifted by night to the secret assault of the Heights of Abraham, he quoted to his companions some famous stanzas of the Elegy of Gray. The French and the British commander were alike destined to die on the morrow, and thus to illustrate the melancholy truth of the poet's reflections. Montcalm was himself a poet, and appended pious verses in French and Latin to a cross erected on his field of victory at Ticonderoga. He had the sentiments and inclinations of a country gentleman. He died before he could learn which of his children had predeceased him. In Condillac, by Nîmes, in Languedoc, he left a mill to grind his olives well, who now must harvest laurels. Who had died in Condillac? All Bougainville could tell was of a death. Mirette, he thought, had died. If it was Mirette, he never could decide for whom the olives sighed in Languedoc. To Condillac, by Nîmes, in Languedoc, a murmur reaches from the perjured wave that floats surprise and France's great reverse. At dawn, too late, the cliffs will answer back. The paths of glory lead but to the grave. Marmoreal verses, plumes to tuft a hearse, and scutcheons black for squires of Condillac. From Condillac, by Nîmes, in Languedoc, quoting Corneille, though Christian not Montcalm, nor his sagacity, nor upended trees, nor men, nor deeds checked England, but God's arm. Coming from this and homelier pieties, in Condillac, by Nîmes, in Languedoc, to earn the stucco tribute of a plaque, Montcalm had met, if we should say his match, we ought to mean his match in hardihood, hardly in grace, James Wolfe, but most of all, his match in fate, his double. Did he catch, if not the low voice, still its tone, the mood? The paths of glory led but to Quebec, from Condillac by Nîmes in Languedoc. Both earned their stucco. Marble was reserved to honour the intrepid, the serene, and the successful Amherst. But it served, pompous and frigid as it was, the phrase, a martial glory. Common ground between the public lives, the private, Kent, Quebec, and Condillac, by Nîmes, in Languedoc. Pontiac. Of all the savages of North America, history records none more eminent for great abilities than Pontiac, a sachem of the Ottawas. He refused to acknowledge the capitulation of Canada. Inflamed by him, a league of all the western tribes invested the ceded forts, burned many, and massacred their garrisons. At Detroit, the most considerable of these places, he was repulsed. But not without justice does the modern metropolis recall, by the names she accords the products of her manufactories, not only her founder, La Motte de Cadillac, but also him who would, in the name of his violated nation, have raised her to the ground. Pontiac fires Detroit. On Fort Duquesne afresh, the immaculate lilies turn, Minavavana all, Le Grand Sauteur, and see, behind the trader's knife, plunging, coureur de bois, roll through the fired stockade, the unmentionable chapter, extermination of the Seminole, deportation of the Cherokee, transportation of the Saginaw. a modern miracle of engineering fires, Detroit and Cadillac, where, cast in steel or punched out of chrome on a spinning wheel, freely may roam this totem, this served, furbished car with a name that's his, ranging so far. Pontiac, Ottawa shade. Bougainville. Louis de Bougainville, lieutenant to the Marquis of Montcalm at the fall of Canada, later essayed to annex the Falkland Islands. Balked of this object by the more politic arrangements of His Most Christian Majesty, his next and most extraordinary venture for the glory of the French nation was a circumnavigation of the globe in the years 1766, 1767, 1768, and 1769. See his narrative of this voyage, made into English by Mr. Forster, and the later extension of this work by the celebrated Diderot, a supplement more ingenious than useful. All the soft runs of it, the tin white gushes over the muscled mesh and interaction of the South Seas tilt against him less unsteady than France had been, or a king who could destroy Acadia's hold, Montcalm betrayed by faction, and all the meadows of the Illinois lost, the Allies abandoned, where the ashes still smolder on the ceded Falklands, these islands and oceans he has failed already, though he will navigate the seven seas. The shame persists as scruple. The exact conscience of science chastens observations, and the redaction of a logbook's soundings is scrupulously dry. Although the scent carries from Otaheite, can a nation's chagrin or honor weigh in the intense scrutiny of the sextant? Matter of fact, dries the great deeps. And yet what tumults when he marks the fathoms, what disorders, houndings of mortification, angers drive the pen. No accuracy there but testifies to a concern behind it, to a feeling in excess of its object, fact. Excesses of that concern, where God permits the pox and a king is perjured, self-inflict their stealing, or this impassive dryness charting rocks, keys, and the set of tide drifts. Weather eyes whittled so blue by pains, exactitude in the science navigation witnesses to the heart's intentions answered, not eschewed. Needing to know is always how to learn. Needing to see brings sightings. Steadiest readings are those that wishes farther. In their ages of Eden's gold, the archipelagos await his keel, because he wants for Eden's, who held savannas once, and the Ohio's bison for France. The measure of concern measures the truth, and in the philosoph, a paradox of noble savages has met no need more urgent than to scoff. A letter to Curtis Bradford. Curtis, you've been American too long. You don't know what it feels like. You belong, don't you, too entirely to divulge. Indifferently, therefore, you indulge my idle interests. Are there names, perhaps, in Iowa still, to match the names on maps? Burgundian or Picard voyageurs, prowling the wilderness for France and furs on the Des Moines River? And suppose there were, what would it prove? To whom would it occur in Iowa that Suppose it so, New France, not your New England, has preeminence, if to belong means anything. Your smile, twisted, admits it doesn't. Steadily, while you on the seaboard, they in Canada, dribbled from floods of European war, boiled in small pools, pressure built up behind the dams of Europe. Dispossessed mankind, your destined countrymen milled at dock gates. Emigrant schooners spilled aboard the States. The dispossessed, the not to be possessed, the alone and equal, peopled all the West. And so, what is it I am asking for? Sipping at names. Dakota, Ottawa, Horse Indian, yes, but earlier. What is this need that I find to fill void centuries? Who first put up America to let? You of the old stock paid him rent, and yet, even so soon, crowds of another sort piled off the boat to take him by assault. And a worse sort, the heroes. Who but they, for whom the manifest was shadow play of an all-absorbing inward war and flight, could so deny its presence and its right. It was the given. But I only guess. I guess at it out of my Englishness, and envy you out of England. Man with man is all our history. American, you met with spirits. Neither white nor red, the melancholy, disinherited spirit of Mid-America, but this, the manifested copiousness, the bounties,